I want to continue a bit on this notion that diakonia, service, means passion. The service that Jesus performed in washing their feet. You see? And the word in the text is, you know, diakonia. Give his life. You see? This is the diakonia as a ransom for many. That's the diakonia. The Son of Man did not come to be served, the passive of the verb, but to serve, diakonia. So I want to show you how this word is key in understanding the preaching of the gospel, the serving of God's people. It's all foot washing. It's all service. Down on your knees, washing their feet. And if you try to do anything else, it's over. Now, you know, you do have to stand up in front of everybody and celebrate the liturgy and preach and so forth, but it's all, why? Because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And his service, to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what our Lord was acting out for the disciples. And why? If you pay attention, you notice, you see, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Does that mean if you don't go through the ceremony of foot washing? No. It means if you're not touched by the blood I poured out on the cross. You see how the Bible, because it's written by mystics, you see, it ties things together. So, well, we've done the Philippians one enough. Here's another one like it in Philippians. This is in chapter 2 later on. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Think of what Paul is saying there. You know, on the day of judgment, I won't look foolish if you've been faithful to the gospel. I'm counting on you to be my boast when I die. If you blow it, pay no attention to me, go on fighting and blah, 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 I'm going to look like a fool at the judgment seat. That's not the way we look on judgment, right? I'm safe. I did all the right things. I'm safe. Paul is saying, unless you believe, unless you change, I'm going to look like a fool. Instead of being my boast, you're going to be my embarrassment. What a different mind, huh? That happens with love. Okay. So it is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But notice now, but even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. He's in prison or looking forward to prison and death. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. Then, generosity with money is a participation in the passion. I mean, not if you give a dime, but if you hurt. And so it says here in 2 Corinthians, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will be the thanksgiving of God through us, through the testimony of this diakonia, the diakonia of your liturgy. Is taking up this money. Do you see how? Yeah, sure. I mean, here's 50 bucks. You know, I can help the poor. And Jesus is saying, you know, I was poor and in wherever. And you gave 50 bucks to help me out. Oh, I'm ever glad I did that. It's Jesus who's thanking me. You see the. I'll tell you a story here. And this is a diakonia and a sacrifice. Mother Teresa tells it. She had one bowl of rice in the house. That's all she had. And a woman came to the door, a Hindu woman, and said, I haven't had anything to eat for 2 days, and I have this baby who hasn't eaten. So Mother Teresa took the rice and gave it to her. She turned right around and split it in half and gave half to another woman in the same situation. Now that's diakonia. And so when she dies, that woman is going to hear from Jesus, the Lord, the King, the radiant center of the universe. I was starving and my child was starving, and you gave me half of your stuff. So come in. Okay. So I think we've done enough of those for you to get the idea of the significance of the foot washing. It's not just another ceremony we got to get through. You see, it's a share in the cross. Okay, now we're going to look at the fourth servant song. The one we had 1, 2, and 3 on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and now on Friday we have the fourth and the longest and the most revelatory. By the way, I just bought one of these new Holy Bible Revised Edition, and it really is a big improvement on so many ways, I can't tell you. I mean, since I've spent a lot of my life reading, especially the Old Testament in Hebrew, when I see how they've restored things that were a little bit confusing in the other, you can see what I'm talking about. So, this starts off God speaking. Where's my text now? Hine, Yashkil Avdi, my servant will prosper. He will be exalted. He will be raised high. The word in the Septuagint there is the verb ipsum, to be raised. The three passion positions in John all have that word. If I be raised up, I will draw men to myself. Remember? The raised up is an allusion to this text. My servant will be raised up. How is he going to be raised up? First, on the cross. He's raised up. And then, at the resurrection, he's raised up. That's why, in the text I just quoted from Philippians, therefore God exalted him, that very word, ipsun. He raised him up. Okay, so this text begins, therefore. I've got it in a couple places. I got to find it, though. Oh, it's all right. Behold, my servant shall be exalted. He shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred were his features beyond that of mortals, his appearance beyond that of human beings. He's going to be exalted, but he's going to be marred beyond recognition. Now, who is this? The model, I think, that this prophet has as he's describing what's going to happen is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was really the suffering prophet. It could be somebody else. There's somebody in mind. But as this is described, this mystic sees it here as a realization of something that's going to happen later. And so this is why the only thing I want to talk about in Good Friday is this, because I don't have time to go into the whole passion narrative in John. You see, he shall be raised high, Yarum, Vanasa. He shall be exalted greatly. Oh, that's what they have, greatly exalted. Okay. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred were his features, his appearance beyond that of human beings, or sons of men. Beyond is nice because it doesn't say which way it's beyond. It's going to take a while before you realize the beyond is worse than anybody else ever looked. You see? So he shall startle many nations. This is going to have worldwide effect when it happens, you see. Kings shall stand speechless, for those who have not been told shall see, and those who have not heard shall ponder it. Even those who never heard of this, you know, just think of how many saints. Look at Padre Pio. He gazed so hard at this mystery that it was imprinted on his body. Many shall be startled. Okay. Then the people begin to speak, okay? Who would believe what we heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, his power, been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched ground. Now, if you're a desert dweller, you know that a shoot coming up from parched ground is not much to look at. It's dried up, stunted, bent, you know. It's not much. It's not like, you know, a garden. He grew up like a shoot from the parched earth. Now just think of what's going on here. This is the one, as we're going to find out, who was by his stripes that were healed. But what happened to him? Well, look. He had no majestic bearing to catch our eye, no beauty to draw us to him. If you hang around with Jesus, he's always going to be talking about the Father. He's always going to try to help you out of your sin. You know? If that's not what you're looking for, he's not attractive. Understand? He loves so much that he wants to live his life and passion in you so that you can be exalted like he is forever. That's what he wants. And the love is so great that unless we stop him, that's what he'll get. But we can stop him. But so you see, he's saying, no beauty. And then it goes on, he was spurned and avoided by men. A man of suffering, knowing pain. This is amazing, isn't it? This is the servant. There's one more servant song. Not always counted, but it should be. In Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach the good news to the poor. Everything I lived through, my poverty and all that, now I can teach it. I like to hang around with the poor. I'm poor. I was so poor, they beat me up and they hung me on a post naked and laughed at me. Anyway, so this is Good Friday. This is why we do this, huh? He had no majestic bearing, no beauty draw us to him. He was spurned and avoided by men, a man of suffering, knowing pain. Like one from whom you turn your face, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Can you see that this great person writing this text, again, if you don't mind my using the word again, he's a mystic. He's experiencing these things. And he has a model in mind. I think Jeremiah, remember, was thrown in prison, laughed at, beat up, and if the apocryphal is correct, he was sawed in two. He didn't have a happy life. And he complained about it, too. You led me on, O Lord, and I let myself be led. You know, you forced me, and you won. And I, a laughing stock. Okay, we'll stop there.